Blog Talk Radio.
Bonsoir and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, mesdames and messieurs. It is Sunday, the 18th day of June in the year 2017, and you're now listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio. I'm your hostess, Sandra London of livinggrind.com, broadcasting free live from the sunny beaches of Southern California. Latham & Sandra Radio can be heard via Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Digital Podcast, and New Groove and Rhythms, a.k.a. Naked Girls Radio. The song you just heard at the top of the hour is called Kipu, and it's by the artist No Fingernails. I hope you all enjoyed that out there. Cool news alert. So I should be able to interview the author of a nonfiction novel about H.H. Holmes, Dr. H.H. Holmes, like the first, I guess, known American serial killer. Yay! To interview like the author, dude. So I sent an email and we said hello via Skype, Twitter. we shall see when this will happen, but I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if you can say, well, I guess you could say enjoy. I enjoy reading true crime novels or books, what have you, and watching, you know, movies about, you know, things that are based on real life, whether it's just a dramatic film or a somewhat horror film kind of a thing. So this ought to be interesting. But yeah, in the meanwhile, check out this next song. I'll be right back with you. The call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. And it is called Maria Game by Christian.
Nothing that you have done, you said that it was just fine.
And we're back. You're listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio. I'm your hostess, Sandra London, of livinggrind.com. The two songs we just heard were Games by Christian and Purple Trip by Panda Dub. And today, did I fail to mention Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the world? Happy Father's Day. I have no idea if there's like some awesome song that would be like a nice Father's Day song. My bad. But yeah, Happy Father's Day. And I was gonna, it'll come back to me. Yeah, I did this show on the fly because I was trying to format it and things just kept going haywire. So I tested out that just go live right now. I'm like, oh, alrighty. And so that's what I'm doing at this very moment. You are a part of my experiment. Enjoy. But yeah, I'll give you another song. The call in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. Let's see. How about, let's do, I'm going to close my eyes and open them. Wait, no. Okay, I probably have about 100 songs or clips and or clips in here. Let's try Scorpio by Moonvale, and I'll be right back with you. Thank you. You're listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio, and I'm your hostess, Sandra London of livinggrind.com. The songs you just heard were Moon Veil by Scorpio and Dubnautic by SPCZ. The call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. And I will play one of my short form erotica stories for you. And I'll probably do a live reading towards the end of the show of one of my other more recent ditties, scrawlings, what have you. But I'll do for right now, I'll do Celeste. Oratio Oblica is its formal title. And direct speech, aka Celeste. Here you go.
Yesterday morning, or perhaps last night, Celeste will wake up dead. It'll take quite some time before she will take note of this. Celeste will have just ventured out the evening before with her best friend forever, Ashlyn Jameson, to seek out a new restaurant and bar, Le Colisée. Dave will not appear too excited about this, and Celeste will worry that he may be upset by the time upon which she returns, especially if she should so happen to have spent far too much time catching up with her longtime friend, with whom she will have not seen in a little over an academic year. Ashlyn has been on a study abroad exchange of some sort, premised upon classical literature and ancient mythology, or something like this. Ashlyn's long-winded, bubbly digests are quite familiar to all. In fact, they register quite regularly as a CC all expose to her steady circulation of friends, as well as the many more recent admirers she will have gathered along the way. Mykonos, Athens, Barcelona, Catalonia, as Ashlyn has never failed to educate her fellow feathered ilk. All this, and even more still, and yet always all the best parts divulged solely for Celeste's pervy perusal and private consumption. And so now, Celeste will be able to unearth even more, always more, about her darling girlfriend's heady endeavors and their lusty conclusion. For example, Tomas, the hunky, highly adroit Catalonian, with whom Ashley has only just memorialized a great escape to Venezia. A sweet but sordid escapade, culminating with tentative, then turbulent, finger-filled dalliances to the tune of the silent symphony on the muddy waters of a midnight gondola ride. A tasty bon appétit, indeed, for El Señor, fanned beneath her popularly peasant skirt, and how Ashlyn would squirm, reliving how she would try her best to ignore the rocking and swaying of that small floating apparatus so many millions of light years away from the crunchy granola of her more usual endives. Like Hendry's Beach off the Pacific coast, or a stolen moment of picnicking a la va-va-voom on checkered gingham blankets? Or were they Freddy's Burgers napkins? Ashley will have developed a learned disdain for those comparatively milder throes of passion, long gone and tossed out to sea amid the persistent flow of tides along the edges of humanity. Celeste is more than willing to subsume this all the while, emptying recollections of fuzzy, fading remnants of her own times past, like losing her bon sang regimes to the Pacific coast in a newly naked embrace, her soaked front pockets bearing down, impeding resistance, reuniting with Donnie's t-shirt, there having become saddled with quarters, readied for a midnight sack of colorless bra and panty laundry, and Donnie's short sleeves. All this, and salute to the elements, yet little more than a mere pittance to Mother Nature herself. But no, Celeste will quickly return to the seedy seat of novelty, smack dab in front row, where things were a lot less pedestrian. You see, Ashlyn was a lady in Europe. That being so, it was only polite then to allow her beau, Tomas, to have a gander at her prized and pretty pink possession, and unthinkable to lie concealed indelicately beneath some nondescript fabric of commodity. Ah, yes. Celeste will be most eager to relish all of these naughty delicts abroad in real time, after all that she has devoured at length before her computer screen. Things were going to get real. Celeste will reach out, compelled by her quest to fully expose those secret treasures of abandon, in concert, she hopes, with her longtime beau. She has lived for the date of this reunion, it seems, and a lustful remixing of the familiar, the widening of Ashlyn's complicit, dazzling hazel green eyes, her full breast thrusting forward out of habit as she embarks anew, weaving her delicious narrative to life. David will not know what hit him. Certainly, yes, Celeste has been yearning for this sort of gathering for much more than a fortnight. And now she wants to collect. Her attention will divert at moments upon the thought of Ashlyn's cheeks, which usually tend towards rosy when she is just about to spill the raciest of spoils. The impish dives of Ashlyn's heart-shaped head as she lowers her gaze mid-sentence. The corners of her girlfriend's lips when they curl conspiratorially. Their interchange will commingle, as they often do, laced with sheepish smirks of self-censorship and bouts of sheer, bemused embarrassment. False modesty will peel away as Ashlyn's hushed giggles tell all. Together, they will find it increasingly troublesome to fight back the tears of merriment. Time and again, they may attempt to stifle and compress Ashlyn's naughty narrative at irregular intervals, shielding themselves from spectators' wandering eyes and wondering ears. And, of course, the waiter will come near, making his proverbial rounds, mostly mid-bite, just like clockwork, just to see if everything's all right. And it will be. And so very much more than all right. Celeste will encroach progressively as the night waxes on, building upon each succulent recantation of her muse. Celeste will catalog all manner of happenstance this evening, hoping to unleash her very own brand of sex magic. Just this once, but precisely where and when she should. She will attempt to widen the circle, just for one, or, well, her party of one. Ah, the sweet, unassuming, ever so devoted David. Now, ordinarily, Celeste would have had no difficulty casting forth a reasonable reproduction of her notorious pal's far-flung charisma, but her rehearsals were largely confined to solitary pursuit, mostly. Yet here, Celeste will assume certain studied positions on this once upon a night. It is a given that she will start out well enough. She will advance with all the more purpose between the unforeseen hours of this endless night. Celeste's impending desire will mount bit by bit, eager to rejoice, relive, and suddenly give rise to a fait accompli. She races full speed ahead, without regard for what could have otherwise resulted from certain derisive acts of jamais vu. Celeste will have hastened the destiny which stirs so immutably within, in spite of herself. By definition, Celeste had plenty of, well, practice, gleaned from that steady stream of salacious digest, awash with the magnetic agony, ecstasy, and octane-laden discourse which spawns over easy from Randy Wildchild, Ashlyn. Celeste has been au courant for such a very long time. More often than not, perhaps, this feverish intoxication could have topped off, occasioning itself to die a warm, slow, heady little death. Until this one night, her fantasies would have remained burrowed within the exclusive domain of private life, slipping through solely during hidden, unspecified stretches of time, shrouded within and beneath her stark white bedroom linen, finding their welcome respite peacefully atop Celeste's personal pleasure chamber. Normally, she would have flicked it out, pressing persistently with her tiny, finely tuned digits until she stopped. However, this time around, not so much. On this other day or night, something else will have come to pass instead, and rather remarkably so. And all because, and perhaps only because, at the culmination of this very grand soirée and pleasure-filled reconnaissance, things really won't seem all that different. Not at first. And yet, after all this, somehow it all must cease to be. Because Celeste will wake up dead.
And we're back. You're listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio, and I'm your hostess, Sandra London of livinggrind.com. You just heard my short form erotica, Oratio Oblica, aka Indirect Speech, aka Celeste. And then you heard Ghost Dance, a classic music sample by Kevin McLeod over from the Free Music Archives, as well as Something Elated by Broke for Free, also from Free Music Archives. Okay, I haven't picked out like which live reading I want to do. Why did I even say I would do one? I make it so hard on myself. No, I will do one, but I don't know which one yet. So I need one more song, and then I will be right back. I'm going to give you... The Architect by Mercury and the Architects. Let's do this. And I'll be right back with you. The call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333.
Turn off the lights. Let's hide where we are. We could survive. We could carry on. Running out of time to try and find where you might belong. You're just getting by, but maybe you've been getting by too long. But I'd rather die than live tomorrow still afraid. Oh, and I'd rather dive into the fire than remain. I'd play to the voice in my head, to the clock on the wall, to the books that we read that we'll never recall, to the time that we spend wasting moments to doubt, to the things that you said that you probably left out of discussions we had in regard to the lies that we told to keep out of our comfortable lives. Every pump, let it go, sick of writing these lines. If the world doesn't care if I'm wrong or I'm right, but I know that there's more to me than 9 to 5 and watching TV. That there's more to see than the bottom of this bottle when it's empty. Sick of believing we exist just to expire, when the truth is that we're living to inspire. Learn, throw it out, let it burn. Cause the way that you were living was rigid for your return to greatness. Back to basics, fuck a day shift. See through the matrix that they created to pretend you're racist, to control your wages, to untie your laces. Let's divide the pages, then ignite the brain. And if we fail to awaken, I guess we'll remain.
I play to the voice in my head, to the clock on the wall, to the books that we read that we'll never recall, to the time that we spent wasting moments to doubt, to the things that you said that you probably left out of discussions we had in regard to the lies that we told to keep out of our comfortable lives. Every pump, let it go, think of writing these lines. If the world doesn't care if I'm wrong or I'm right.
There's a voice in my head, told me leave or I'm dead, told me change or be gone, said it's hard to move on, gotta go, hit the road, need to learn how to grow, on my own, all alone, building Rome with a storm, you're right where you belong, make the path you're on stronger than before, made it through the storm, all the lines are drawn, learn to accept the man you are, came too far to forget.
Probably left out of the judges we had in regard to the lies that we told to keep all of our comfortable lives.
that there's more to me than 9 to 5 and watching TV. That there's more to see than the bottom of this bottle when it's empty. Sick of believing we exist just to expire, when the truth is that we're living to inspire.
And we're back. You're listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio, and I'm your host, Sandra London of LivingGrind.com. You just heard The Architect by Mercury and the Architect. Voila. I'll just go ahead and do, I'll do The Pen. This is like one of my short form ditties that is actually appended on my Twitter. My Twitter is at I'm Sandra London, all one word. Yeah. and I guess it's loosely dedicated to the human machine learning processes. No. I don't know. Anyways, The Pen, and it was published on my website, livinggrind.com, on Tuesday, the 27th day of January in the year 2015. And it's called The Pen. The Pen. Who needs a name? Anyways, The Pen has one every day. Today, my name is Anthony Brown. That's what the pewter says. Click OK. Tomorrow, I may be one Charlie Drown, but I'll still need those pills. Cell 280-9783. Majestic plurals have slots to fill. Screw me once, shoot me twice, front, back, allocate all that damage. Kali Scion? Round here, Dolly, it's all the same. Coins or cabbage. Got cock? Got cunt? Gotcha, Chuck. You are colored. My word. Ain't no thing changed. A person's to paper. To wit. Which? Witness? Wait. Which savior? A hole for ink dipping. No. Dripping. Jenny Doe. Join in and line up. You're a number. A true nomen nescio. No slipping. It's us. Just ice. Filing a filly. Single, defile, la défendante, Keisha or Clotilde, surname, tiki, élégante, n'est-ce la pute, pass down, hands up, stand up, bear down, man up, bitch, but don't clinch, or I'll shoot. The end. Voila, that was The Pen. Written by yours truly, Sandra London of LivingGrind.com, and published on LivingGrind.com on Tuesday, the 27th day of January in the year 2015. Oi.
You like to watch? zapach proć.
Chcę jak
whisky. Chcę jak whisky.
Chcę jak whisky.
Chcę jak whisky.
Chcę jak
whisky. Chcę jak whisky. Chcę jak whisky. Chcę jak whisky.
Chcę
jak whisky. Chcę jak whisky.
Chcę
jak whisky. Chcę
jak
whisky. Chcę jak whisky. Chcę jak whisky.
Chcę jak
whisky. Chcę jak whisky.
Now that's better, baby. Why don't we sing a song to help pass the time? Hmm? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is
down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Merrily, 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 life is
down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily,